Hi, good morning. Welcome to EMP. For those online, welcome. So I'm going to be sharing a short devotion today from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. So Acts chapter 2 with verse 42. And it's really just a short scripture passage. And it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And so the title of this morning's devotion is A Change of Devotions. That when we accept the truth of who Jesus is, we experience a change of devotions in our lives. It transforms our lives. It transforms the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we live our lives in terms of our behavior. And so the affections of our hearts are transformed and directed toward God, you could say. And I like this quote from this book from Brennan Manning called The Furious Longing of God. And the quote goes like this, that the wild, unrestricted love of God is not simply an inspiring idea. When it imposes itself on mind and heart with the stark reality of ontological truth, it determines why and what time you get up in the morning, how you pass your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, and who you hang with. It affects what breaks your heart, what amazes you, and what makes your heart happy. That our affections are completely transformed when we've entered this relationship with God. And I like this, that it just changes everything about us, the way we spend our weekends. You know, when my non-Christian friends ask me, "Oh, what are you doing on Sunday?" And I go, "Oh, I'm going to church." They're like, "What? Why would you go to church?" It's hard to explain to non-Christians sometimes why Christians do the things that we do, because for them, they see it as a way of just belief systems. Versus for us, we see it as a way of our relationship with God. As to, why would you wake up at 7 a.m. to go to prayer? Why? Because I want to spend time with God. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Because I love being with others that love God, and so forth. And it changes us in so many ways. It changes the things we're passionate about. I mean, for me, it changed my life completely. I remember I wanted to be a professional soccer player up until the point that Jesus entered my life, and I had no other passion except for Him after that. And so our affections, our hearts are transformed and directed toward God. So much so for me that during the first year when I got saved, I fell so in love with God's presence. That's all I wanted. That's the only place I wanted to be. I wanted to be in His presence. And I found out that you could be in His presence not only at church but at home. And when I found out that God shows up in the same way that He does at church in my room, I was like, wow, I have access to this all the time. And so that's the only place where I wanted to be, was to be in His presence. But before that, you would have asked me, "Hey, you want to go to church?" I was like, "Yeah, I'd rather do something else with my life." But when my hearts and my affections were transformed towards God, it completely changed. I don't know if you remember what your attitudes and what your affections were before you found God in your life. And so when I read this passage, the context to it is that the disciple, we have Peter. Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to speak to a crowd. And it says, "And the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and some mocked them and confused them for being drunk." And so they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and people are mocking them, and they think, "Oh, look at you, you're drunk." And just a side note on that, if you're afraid of the Holy, I think sometimes people are afraid of the Holy Spirit because of what of how they might be perceived by others. In the same way here, they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're perceived as being what? Drunk. But we shouldn't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. And so here, Peter is here being filled with the Holy Spirit, is then addressing the crowd, and he's proclaiming who Jesus is, and people are moved and convicted. You know, I think sometimes we need to have conversations with people. We do need to explain with them who Jesus is. But sometimes all we really just need to do is proclaim who he is and let people deal with that fact of who he is. And so here, Peter just addresses a crowd proclaiming who Jesus is, and people are moved and convicted. So much so, it says that around 3,000 people repented. It says, they accepted and received his message and were baptized. And so that's when we get to verse 42, is that these people that have now accepted and received the message and are baptized, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And so here are people who have an encounter with God. Their lives are transformed, and now the devotion of their lives is transformed as well. I think for me, one of the hardest things when I came to Christ was even the devotion of the friends that I had changed. Not that I didn't want non-Christian friends, but I wanted a different type of friends as well. I wanted friends that were devoted towards pursuing God. And so here we see that they were devoted to four things: the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And so what we devote ourselves to begins to shape our hearts, minds, and behaviors. So what we devote ourselves to matters, and just as important as what we don't devote ourselves to. So it's not just about the things we devote ourselves to, but it's also about the things that we don't devote ourselves to. And so they devoted themselves to the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And each one of these plays an important role in our spiritual growth, in teaching, in hearing God's word. Hebrews says that God's word is powerful enough to go into the asunder of the soul, to bring conviction, to exhort us, to encourage us. And so we need to have the word spoken to us in our lives. We need fellowship with one another. Bible says that it is that two is better than one. So we need community with others that are pursuing God in the same way. That if we're ever, I always thought that community was only about, two is better than one, because if one falls, then the other one is there to pick the other up. And I always viewed it more from a selfish point of view. Okay, I need community because if I fall, I need others to pick me up. But I never thought about, what if I need to be the one that picks others up as well? And so I need to be a part of community. Next, we have the breaking of the bread. Here, it could just be eating meals with one another, or you can have even the communion. And I think communion plays an important part of bringing into remembrance of what God did for us. It allows us to stop in our lives and to remember what God did for us. And so we get to prayer, of conversating with God and talking with God. And prayer is so rich, because you could break it down into just so many aspects of prayer. However, I don't want to just focus on what we should be devoted to, which is the doing, but the heart of our devotedness, which is the being, the affections of our devotions, the focus of our heart's devotion. Because I think it is very easy to do devoted things without the devotion. That I find myself in relationships, or even, I remember when I was a kid, my mom would always say to do things with love. Because sometimes you can do the things, but the affections are not there. I think she said that because I was breaking too many dishes, and she could tell that I was like, I just need to do my chores, and she's like, you need to do things with love. So it's not just about what we're devoted to, but the affections of those devotions. That if our affections have become dull, cold, and religious, then what should we do? Oh, sorry, I jumped towards my last point. Okay. And so the focus of our hearts is our devotions. And the gospel frees us from becoming religious in our relationship with God. Religion says we focus on our devoted acts as a means to being made right with God, hoping for God's love, acceptance, good luck to make our life go great. And so I remember early on, if I had a bad day, I'd be like, oh, did I pray today? Did I read my Bible today? Is that why my day went bad? And so I'd stop in the middle of the day. I was like, okay, maybe I should pray right now. Let me read my day and let me see if my day changes a little bit. Or if I fell in sin, then for me was then, I think when people sin, sometimes they want to hide from God. For me, it was the opposite. I was like, okay, let me work myself back towards God being affectionate towards me once again. I would use my works, my acts as being the way as to this is how God will love me once again after me messing up. That's religion. And so the gospel is what has been done by Jesus Christ to put us in our right relationship with God. That we love Him because He first loved us. That our devoted acts are a response to His love. That we are devoted to Him because He first loved us. And so our devoted acts now flow from being in love with Him. And when we lose sight of the gospel, it becomes easy for our affections to become dull and cold. That our devoted acts become motivated to love rather than from love. That there is a difference between living our lives, our relationship with God for love, rather than a place of from love. And so, for me, the question I asked was, if our affections have become dull, cold, and religions, what should we do? I think there's a power in remembrance. There's a reason why Jesus established communion. He said, do this in remembrance of me. And maybe he thought, they'll probably forget at some point. And so maybe I need to establish something for them that will allow them to remember and bring them back. And here in Ephesians, Paul's writing, he says, therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. So here Paul is telling the Ephesians to remember. Remember that at a time you were separate from Christ. And so now he's telling them, these are the things that you should remember, that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so Paul says, remember where you once were. And Paul's not using this as a way of like, oh, remember how bad you were, and that's where you are. He's telling them, remember, because that's where that's where you were, but that's no longer where you are now. And it was to encourage them, because he says, but now in Christ. He's not saying, hey, remember when you were a sinner, that's still who you are. Look at you, remember that. But he says, no, but now in Christ. And so we are brought back to who we are in Christ, being far away, being brought near by the blood of Christ. And so there is an appetite for God, and it can be awakened. And I feel that sometimes when our hearts grow cold towards God, that we feel that well, this is where I'm at, this is where the relationship is at, and it can't go from here. But I believe that that appetite for God, it can be awakened, and I believe that the gospel awakens us to that. Because our affection towards God is not anything we can manufacture ourselves, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives through the gospel, then we are awakened and affectionate towards God. And so just to conclude that when we accept the truth of who Jesus is, we experience a change of devotions in our lives, that our affections and our hearts are transformed and directed towards God. And so I have this quote from Henry Nouwen, and I like the way it goes. He says, "For most of my life, I have struggled to find God, to know God, to love God. I have tried hard to follow the guidelines of the spiritual life, pray always, work for others, read the scriptures, and to avoid the many temptations to dissipate myself. I have failed many times, but always tried again, even when I was close to despair. Now I wonder whether I have sufficiently realized that during all this time, God has been trying to find me, to know me, and to love me. The question is not how am I to find God, but how am I to let myself be found by Him? The question is not how am I to know God, but how am I to let myself be known by God? And finally, the question is not how am I to love God, but how am I to let myself be loved by God? God is looking into the distance for me, trying to find me and longing to bring me home." And I like that because it goes and it brings us back to God's affections towards us. And when we dwell in His affections for us, I believe then He brings us back to Himself. And so as we go into this time of worship and we just, let's set our affections towards God. Let's allow His affection for us to transform the way we think, feel, and live out our lives. So Father, I pray that as we go into this time of just reflecting, of remembering what You've done for us, and how far we may have come, I pray that more than anything, we will be reminded of who we are now in Christ. That before we were far off, but now we're near to You. That now in Christ we are sons and daughters. As Ephesians says, that we went from death to life. Father, there is so much abundance in our relationship with You, in being in You. And so, Father, we just set our hearts towards that. Of all that You have for us as Your sons and daughters.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now that tore my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear beyond. Amazing grace.
The Lord has promised.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. You will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone.
Remember that amazing grace that was poured out over our lives. Let the devotedness of our hearts, our affections be toward you, Father. That we would continue to just grow in our love for you and be transformed by your love, knowing that we are your sons and daughters and that we are loved already. And so let our life be a response to your love. Let our devotions flow as a response from being loved by you. And that we would see and recognize the fullness of all that we have available to us in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we go now towards our community prayer and pray for those that are dealing with cancer and going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for those that are struggling with illnesses and also in need of salvation. Let's pray for those that have infirmities. Let's pray for those that are looking for jobs in this season. Let's pray for Hong Kong in the areas of government, wealth gap, revival, our churches, sports ministries, Shanti, YWAM, Stan Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, our students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Thank you.
Let's pray for our staff. Pray for those in hospitality. Worship, sound, and the AV team. Let's pray for our house churches that are meeting today. Pregnancies in our church, and for the mothers that are also trying to get pregnant. commit all these prayers to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. Enjoy the rest of your time in prayer.